This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Remember, if you're out and about, please, please, for your safety and for everyone in the community, obey the COVID rules and support all your friends and colleagues who are doing it tough. Give them a phone call, give them an email, give them a video call, whatever. Tass.
Thanks, Macca. Macca, our next guest is Dr. Meg Elkins. Meg is a senior lecturer in economics at La Trobe University as part of the School of Economics. And Meg came to our attention because she wrote a very interesting piece in The Conversation, of all great journals, of course, about the issue of providing incentives to encourage people to get vaccinated. So we're interested in exploring this as a topic a bit more. Good morning to you, Meg.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Meg, we're very interested in the work that you've done around incentives and vaccination. Tell us, do incentives work? Providing somebody with a pot of beer for a vaccine, will that actually deliver the outcome that we want?
Well, it depends who you are. And I think the people that are going to be incentivised by a pot of beer, particularly the ones that are vaccine hesitant, the ones that you want to really get to are the ones that are complacent. And I don't know, look, if you are concerned about health and your body and well-being, if I'm offering you a donut and beer and fast food, that's sending mixed messages. What you're hearing then is that if you're offering me beer, donuts and vaccines, then is the vaccine healthy? So would beer work? I think, look, for some people it's just like getting a lollipop after the vaccination. But for others, it's going to take a lot more.
Yeah. If we think back, you know, to the days when giving blood you'd get a milkshake and a party pie afterwards,
Yes. That
was to say thank you for giving blood. I'm not sure anyone went to give blood to get a milkshake and a party pie.
And that's actually a reward as opposed to an incentive.
Exactly.
Which is quite a difference.
Yeah, so do you think that we've seen this, giving a free pot or whatever, you know, if you've been vaccinated, or a donut, although it'd have to be pretty, more than one donut.
Well, what about a lottery?
I think it was two.
Two, okay.
I think it was two. And it happened in the US, and you could get two Krispy Kreme. They did it in March. I'm not quite sure if Australia has come there yet. But a lottery is a different one altogether, because we like, as human beings, we actually enjoy something that we know that is unpredictable.
Yeah.
So the thing about a lottery that is appealing is that it is unpredictable and that we're just putting our hat in the ring. There's something interesting about that, though, because a lot of the studies that have shown that lotteries worked in the US, particularly the one in Ohio, where they had the $1 million a week, they said, well, look how successful the lotteries were. But what they didn't take into account is in that very same period that 15 to 18 year olds were eligible for the vaccine. And if you look at the numbers, that was actually the rise. So lotteries, look, they're a bit of fun and interest, and they're unpredictable. But what happens is when you start to put in things like money and lotteries, you change it from being something that you do from goodwill, that I'm doing it to protect my fellow man, I'm doing this because I want to protect my family, my society, you make it a market transaction. And that really changes how we perceive the vaccine. And can you actually sustain that for next year? Is it going to take a $300 voucher that we then get you to vaccinate next year? I mean, we have to think about these things in the long term.
I would have, you know, when I think of the $300 voucher, I think of people spending it at Harvey Norman, and I think they've already had enough government assistance. So I think, you know, what do we, you know, reality is, you know, for myself and for Tass and for Paul and other people I know, and I'm sure yourself, Meg, you know, the thought of getting a small gift for taking the right personal and public health decision to get vaccinated isn't going to make you do it. So
no, you're right. It's a reward.
A reward.
So what is going to make you do it?
So
that's the next question.
That is a good question.
So what do you think?
What is going to make you do it?
Yeah, what do you? I mean, Vax Lotto is very interesting, but what do you think it would actually? You know, what do you think would be a good way to encourage those that have been a bit hesitant to actually front up and do the and get vaxxed?
I have a little bit of research behind this, and I'm a behavioural economist, and we as behaviouralists believe in these ideas of nudges. They're light touch, low cost, and that means you make something easy, attractive, social and timely. And for me, the best way to spend my money, if I was going to be the government, would be to personalise it by sending those that are unvaccinated a message, either by text or email, to say, we've got an appointment reserved for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Taff, here's your appointment. Macca, here's your appointment. Turn up to this location, 3 o'clock on Friday, and there's basically, if you don't want to come, then rearrange your appointment. What that does is some people are just complacent and they don't know how to do it. They're going, where do I do it? I don't know. It looks difficult. I've even had people say to me, well, no one's actually told me I have to get vaccinated. It's like the government messages have all gone to things like advertising, news and media, but you forget that there's a whole range of people that aren't engaging in those platforms, where particularly if you're young, you're not listening to the news. You're on TikTok, you're on Insta, you're getting your news via streaming. It's not... You have to personalise it and make it easy.
So, Meg,
so this little message?
As a case example, there's a cluster outbreak here in St Kilda at the moment.
Yeah.
And on Thursday afternoon, the health department shot out a geo-targeted text to every single person who had been in St Kilda or lives in St Kilda or works in St Kilda or is visiting St Kilda. And they also provided direct information about, with a very clear action, go and get tested. And then, of course, there was a link to where you can find out information about where to get tested. And, of course, what the health department have now done is to set up a whole range of pop-up testing clinics. I heard that there were a couple of minibuses on Grey Street, for example, who were staffed with nursing staff and outreach staff who were there to actually literally tap people on the shoulder as they're walking past, have a conversation with them, offer them a test, offer them a vaccine. Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Well, personalised works. A blanket message isn't as effective as here is your appointment ready to go. Thing is, we're quite risk averse, so we'll probably not want to give that up. But there's a whole lot of people that just, you know, haven't got around to it. It's a bit difficult. And there's also that element of taking time off work and how the logistics of if I get a little bit unwell after the vaccine, how do I go about the timing? Because, you know, life's busy. And so you want to be able to nudge, what we call, to nudge those that are complacent and to nudge that those that are probably a little bit lazy. We know from the Melbourne Institute research that there's about 21% that are in that unsure bracket.
Right.
So there's and probably 10% that are absolutely adamant they won't get vaxxed. What we want to nudge is those unsure because, and the personalised message really does work. We see this in all of our communications. It means that we feel like they're connecting with us rather than just everyone. I also think that when you're getting an appointment, you need extra information as well. So click here for extra information, click here for the $300 payment, or click here for other elements. So we make it really, really easy.
So that goes straight back to your framework, doesn't it? The four-part framework, easy, attractive, timely and social. Mm. So it's about making it as easy as possible and as attractive as possible for people to engage and get vaccinated or get tested. What do you mean by social? Tell us a bit more about that.
I love that one. The social one is actually what we around this idea of social norms. That you're doing it because everyone in your group is doing it. So if I was working my message even more, I'd say 28% of people in your neighbourhood have already been vaccinated. Get vaccinated to protect your family. So what you do is you put up a message to tell them who else around you has actually got it, so it puts you in a ranking. Yeah. You might notice that you get that in an energy bill, but you'll see that they'll say, you know, your neighbour has been using this amount of energy. You should drop your energy use. So that's that social bit. We respond to what we see other people doing around us. So if we get reminders of that, then it's how we present the message. I would say.
So it's about putting you in a context. It's about putting you in a context of the world in which you live in. So it's taking into account who you engage with, your family, your friends, your peers, that sort of thing.
The more immediate you can make that, the better. And another nudge that you probably the more, you know, they do this with towels in hotel rooms, and you'll get a message on your bed to say that. You know, that people reuse in this bed, in this room, reuse their towel 50% of the time. So it sets up that you walk in and you go, well, half of the people who've been in this room are reusing their towels for the environment. I should too. So it's indicating what other people are doing around you. And I actually like the social. The attractive is fun. The attractive is small nudges that, one, make it personalised, but to increase the novelty. So that's why, have you ever seen those stairs that are like piano keys that you walk up?
Oh, yes.
Encourage people to walk up stairs. That's an example of something that is attractive.
Mm. Yeah.
Or the fly. The fly is another good one. Have you heard of that one?
No.
The fly on the toilet bowl to get men to encourage to increase their aim.
Oh, to actually hit the fly rather than the fly.
They hit the fly
and that reduces the
cleaning
cost.
I've never seen that.
It's in airports in Holland.
I won't be going to one of those for a long time, I'm afraid, Meg.
Actually, there's a couple at Frankfurt Airport too.
Yeah, so these are tiny little things, and you can see they're fun, but they encourage good behaviour, very light touch, low cost.
Meg, we're out of time, unfortunately, so we will need to call this quits, but thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. I really do like this framework, this sort of behavioralist framework, easy, attractive, timely and social. We'll have to create an acronym out of that. EATS.
EATS.
Oh, EAST.
The EAST framework.
EAST framework.
Easy,
there we go.
Attractive, social, timely.
There we go.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.